Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Sandra Christensen about a recent article discussing PCOS and obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. I'd like to welcome you here today to the Obesity Algorithm podcast. And we're fortunate to have with us today, Sam Christensen. Sam, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Thank you, Harold. I'm Sam Christensen. I am a nurse practitioner and an obesity medicine specialist, and I've specialized in obesity treatment for the past 15 years. I own Integrative Medical Weight Management in Seattle, Washington. I'm also a proud member of the Obesity Medicine Association, and I serve as a trustee on the OMA Board of Trustees. I'm delighted to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Well, great. Now, when you say integrative, I assume you mean that as part of what you do and every day is integrate different aspects of patient care related to obesity, which would include women's health. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And the reason that's important is because what we do in these podcasts is we pick out a particular article, a journal article that's applicable to the latest version of the obesity algorithm. And the article that you chose was entitled Recent Advances in the Understanding and Management of Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome. And this was written by Anna Rocha, and it was in the 2019 publication of Faculty 1000. What I found very interesting about this article is right from the beginning, it talks about how polycystic ovarian syndrome is multifaceted. And it also is distinguished from, say, for example, premature menopause or menopause, in that with polycystic ovarian syndrome, the ovaries are actually overactive as opposed to being underactive. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting in this article is they emphasized how polycystic ovarian syndrome, and this is a quote, is a systemic syndrome. And they talk about hyperandrogenemia, or increase in male hormone. They talk about insulin resistance and such. So my goodness, this really takes in a lot of aspects of women's health. So Sam, I guess my first question for you is, what are the health implications for women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome and the obesity?
Well, you're correct that it's a systemic syndrome, and it affects both metabolic, reproductive, endocrine, and mental health. And so for women with PCOS and obesity, the increased risk of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, those kind of metabolic issues are much greater. And we know that women who have PCOS, 60 to 80% of them have overweight or obesity. So it's a large portion of women with PCOS that are at great health risk.
Well, and I think that's a great point. And the good news about that is to the extent that the obesity is contributing to the endocrinopathies that promote the polycystic ovarian syndrome by improving the obesity, hopefully that helps. But I think you would agree that one of the last things that clinicians need to do is when they have a patient with polycystic ovarian syndrome is to blame the patient. Because there are a lot of women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome that do not have obesity. So it's not just about the weight. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yeah. And many of the women, even if they don't have overweight or obesity, have central adiposity. That's very common, even for women with a BMI below 25.
Okay. So it certainly contributes, but look, as was stated in the article, polycystic ovarian is a multifaceted disease. It's hyperactivity of the ovaries, hyperactivity of the adrenals, activity of the adipose tissue that you just mentioned. But the other thing that you mentioned that everyone talks about is this insulin resistance. So tell me, what's that connection between polycystic ovarian syndrome and the obesity and the insulin resistance? What's going on there?
Well, they're all very interconnected. And so if you picture a Venn diagram with three circles and obesity in one, PCOS in the other, and insulin resistance in the third, there's a lot of overlapping pathophysiology. And these authors state that insulin resistance is integral to PCOS, and it's very common and certainly more severe for women with overweight or obesity. So it's really the underlying issue for women with PCOS and obesity.
Right. And so if you have a woman with the obesity and they have the insulin resistance, they're probably going to have elevated insulin levels. And those insulin levels can cause a lot of problems with ovarian function and such, and contribute to this hyperangiogenemia and contribute to the anovulation and such. And I know for a lot of women, one of the major issues with polycystic ovarian syndrome, beyond, as I mentioned before, the increase in androgens or the increase in male hormones, has a lot of times it's that anovulation. For example, women that are trying to become pregnant and such. So if you do have a woman who has the obesity and has polycystic ovarian syndrome and such, what do you do? What do you recommend to these women?
Well, you want to have an individualized plan that's based on their particular manifestation as well as their reproductive desire. So if someone is wanting to become pregnant, what often happens is they present to their clinician and they're sent off to the infertility specialist, even though they've got PCOS and obesity. And what really should happen first is they should treat that obesity, which will increase the likelihood that the woman can become pregnant, perhaps without any additional treatment. But at the very least, it will improve the outcome both for that woman and her offspring if the obesity is addressed first.
Right. And I got to tell you, as a clinical trialist, you know, we try to advise women when they enter into clinical trials to avoid pregnancy, obviously, for investigational agents or what we call investigational products. But once women start to lose weight, and even though we try to advise women to really avoid conception stuff, the conception rate really goes up.
Yes.
I think a lot of times they think we're just making things up, like it's not real. But trust me, it's very real. At least within the clinical trial scope of practice, when women start to lose weight, it's there. You can see it. Women do have an increased risk of pregnancy. Is that in clinical practice, is that what you're seeing? Is that what you see?
Absolutely. So if I'm treating a woman for obesity with PCOS, I get her on contraception before I start anything else. Because if she is not wanting to become pregnant, and if we're using medications that could be problematic for the pregnancy, you want to start there. And what we know is that a 5 to 7% weight loss can restore menstrual function and ovulation. So if you think about a woman who weighs 250 pounds, that's a weight loss of 12 to 17 pounds. So it's not that much in the grand scheme of things, but that can restore fertility. So you need to start contraception at the beginning of the treatment.
But I like what you said at the beginning here. This has to be individualized, because I think you would agree the idea here is not to give, the idea is to give hope, but the idea is not to give unrealistic hope. And that there are some women with the overweight and the obesity who can do everything that they're supposed to be doing with regard to nutrition and physical activity, and problems with what they have with fertility, not their fault. right? There's other things going on. There's inherent ovarian issues and inherent adrenal issues. So while it can certainly help, it's not the answer for everybody.
Correct. But the underlying insulin resistance is contributing to the infertility and to the other issues. And so treating that and focusing on that while you're treating the obesity, that is a very effective way to treat obesity, can really improve health on a number of levels.
Right. So above and beyond, because I think that's what you said at the very beginning, is that it isn't just polycystic ovarian syndrome results in anovulation and menstrual irregularities and the hyperandrogenemia. It's a risk factor for like fatty liver and increased risk for cardiovascular disease in the future. So above and beyond what you're doing for the ovaries, I mean, you're thinking about the entire lifespan of the woman. Am I interpreting you correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. From adolescence, even past menopause. So even though reproduction is no longer an issue post-menopause, some of the hyperandrogenic symptoms can continue and the metabolic risk can persist. So it's really important to screen any woman for any kind of a history of PCOS, even if she's post-menopause. And then we also have to consider the effects to the offspring, which are great.
Right. So what you're saying is through not necessarily genetic effects, but through epigenetic transmissions and such, that there's an increased risk of offspring potentially having the diabetes or the obesity or these types of things in the future. Is that what you mean?
That's correct. Yes. And females born to women with PCOS have a higher risk of PCOS themselves.
Well, then I think this circles right back around to what this article was trying to get across, is that polycystic ovarian syndrome, it isn't just about the ovaries. It's a multifaceted disorder that doesn't just affect multiple organ systems or promote multiple diseases and such, but from what you just said, also affects a woman across her entire lifespan, or whether it be preconception, conception, through the younger years to older years, and maybe even past menopause. Addressing that insulin resistance and the obesity is going to help a lot of things. Do you have any final thoughts?
I do. What most impressed me about this article was that the authors, perhaps without knowing it, touched on all the four pillars of obesity treatment. They addressed lifestyle issues like nutrition, physical activity, and behavioral therapy, but they also addressed pharmacotherapy and suggested not only metformin to help reduce the insulin resistance, but using anti-obesity medications to reduce the obesity. And they cited studies of liraglutide and orlistat, which was surprising to me, as being beneficial for women with PCOS. So we want to really take a holistic approach to women and think about their metabolic, reproductive, and mental health, because, as I said, there's higher rates of anxiety and depression for women with PCOS and a lot of emotional distress. So we want to look at the whole person.
Right. And that goes back to what you said before. Take the holistic approach. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate it. You've been listening to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast with articles taken from the Obesity Algorithm. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Ms. Christensen. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcast and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcast. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.